south. Sweet potato pie and I shut my mouth. Gone, gone with the wind. There ain't nobody looking back again.
Welcome to Pewter Report readers and listeners to another edition of the Pewter Nation podcast. I'm Mark Cook, along with my boss, Mr. Scott Reynolds.
Hello.
Intern Matt.
What up, what up?
And intern Taylor.
Hey, long time listener, first time caller. I appreciate having me on.
You're going to hang up and just listen?
No. I'm going to stick around.
Oh, okay. All right. We don't, they haven't gained the respect enough to give their last names. So it's just intern Matt and intern Taylor for now.
I think people that have read the post-game, or I should say the post-practice reports, mm-hmm. know that it's Matt Matera, Taylor Jenkins. We can let the cat out of the bag.
Matt, cut that part out, please.
No, leave it in. It's fine.
Well, also, you said my last name on the last podcast, so
yeah.
I cut
joke's
it out.
On you.
Oh, okay.
Well, oh, you're editing this now?
I'll tell you what the joke is on. The joke is on Mobile Weather. The joke is on all of us, fellas. It is now Thursday. We've been here since Monday. We were completely rained out yesterday. The weather was lived up to its Mobile legendary status, right, Scott?
Cold, dreary.
Lightning,
some rain, yeah.
Yeah, the house shook at one point when the thunder came.
That was me in the bathroom. But the fact is, another 10 degrees, it would have been snowing up here. I mean, it was in the 40s yesterday. It was cold and rainy. And anyway, we missed out on the snow. That's okay. Us Florida boys have no idea what snow is.
Yeah, so the Senior Bowl practice was moved indoors to the South Alabama indoor practice facility. Yep. No media was allowed in. They did do some streaming of parts of that practice on the Senior Bowl Twitter feed. We saw part of that. Really, the good news is we get to have practice today. It's sunny out. It's cold. It's mm-hmm. like 38 degrees right now. It's going to warm up, I think, to maybe 48. But we'll be out there today watching practice. But this has been kind of a different Senior Bowl, not just because the practices were essentially rained out at Ladd People Stadium yesterday, but also, too, because Jason Light was only here for 2 days and then took off yesterday, did not speak to the Tampa Bay media. And by that, I mean PewterReport.com up here, along with Greg Allman from The Athletic. I believe we're the only Tampa reporters up here. And typically, even dating back to Mark Domenic's days as general manager, we've always gotten the GM to speak about the offseason, setting up some things, sometimes a wink and the nod. Like last year, we talked about Chris Baker's not going to be a Buccaneer. You know, we kind of got that information up here. Robert Ayers was not going to be back. There was some intel that was kind of disseminated, and some of this stuff was on the record. But this year, no Jason Light, and I think what he wanted to do, and at least it kind of in telling us, was he didn't want to taint Bruce Arians and the new coaching staff's viewpoints on any of these players. He wanted to give them the full opportunity to watch film and evaluate the current Buccaneers on the roster. The Bucs only have 6 draft picks, so it doesn't make a lot of sense for those coaches who didn't attend the East-West Shrine practices in their own backyard last week in St. Petersburg to come up here to look at maybe one or two guys that might become draft picks, especially when you have the NFL scouting combine coming up, the pro day workouts coming up in March. They're going to have these guys into one Buccaneer place for visits. There's ample time to catch up on the college scouting for the 6, maybe 7 players if there's a trade that will be acquired by the Bucs in the draft. But they got 50-some players they got to evaluate on the current roster.
And that's why the guys, other than Jason Light and his staff, are left behind to do that. You know, Jason wanted to get out of town. Obviously, he needs to be here with his guys to look at these draft prospects. But that gives Bruce Arians and his staff an opportunity, as you said, Scott, to, without any preconceived notions or without any input from anybody else, just watch the film. Just take a look at what these guys did last year. And I would imagine that when Jason gets back, which he got back yesterday, but I would imagine later this week or first of next week, then they'll all sit down and then they'll all start trying to discuss exactly who they're going to keep, who's a priority, who's, you know, if it works out, and then definitely some guys that just aren't going to be here, that aren't Bruce Arians type of guys. And that's what's probably going to take place. But it was disappointing. We didn't get Jason Light. As you said, Scott, it's been something we've done every year. Jason Light, Mark Domenic, used to get Bruce Allen. I think you had Ron Wolf in 1977.
No, I wasn't here in 1977.
How old were you in 1977?
5 years old.
Five?
Yeah.
I actually got Ron Wolf.
Did you?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
That's good, Grandpa.
At
the
North-South
that.
Game, it was called back then.
Was that the Blue-Gray game?
Yeah, Blue-Gray Bowl, yeah. Or whatever it was. But anyway, politically correct times have come upon us, and now it's just the Senior Bowl, the Reese's Senior Bowl.
Yeah.
And Scott, before we get started too much, this isn't going to be a very long podcast, but we've had great sponsorship this week by a company, one of our sponsors. So talk about them real quick. Who sponsored our Senior Bowl podcast this week?
Yeah,
and our coverage.
Lane Family Wellness, Dr. Tommy Lane's a huge Tampa Bay Buccaneers fan, longtime PewterReport.com reader, my own personal chiropractor. He has done wonders with my back. Listen, I sit at a desk on my laptop 8 hours a day sometimes. I'm up in the press box on Sundays. That wreaks havoc on your back. If you're like me and you've been out there, Pewter Nation, you know, sitting behind a desk or driving in your car all day, your posture's probably not great. And if you're middle-aged like myself at age 46, you probably need some chiropractic care. And you probably also, at some point in time, have suffered an injury to a knee or shoulder, one of your joints. And not only does Lane Family Wellness address chiropractic needs, they also can do stem cell therapy and some non-surgical procedures that can get your joints feeling better. And I'm probably going to be in need of that for my shoulder sooner rather than later. So trust Lane Family Wellness for your chiropractic and stem cell therapy needs, located right off of Dale Mabry, off Fletcher Avenue, in the Carrollwood area. Dr. Tommy Lane, you can visit the website Tampa Knee Relief. That's K-N-E-E, TampaKneeRelief.com. For more information.
Before we were rained out on Wednesday, we had Tuesday an opportunity to watch both practices over at Ladd People Stadium. Even before that, during the media luncheon after the weigh-in, we had an opportunity to talk to some players. And Scott, there's a Penn State kid that went to high school just down the road from One Buccaneer Place and from Raymond James Stadium. We have a story up on him now. And I'm going to let you pronounce his name because I've already forgotten. I know it's Amani.
Amani Uwariye. From yes. Gaither High School, played at Penn State, a big corner. I mean, weighed in at just under 6'2", about, I think, 204. Mm-hmm. And, you know, not the fleetest of foot, which is what you would expect from a big corner, although Isaiah Johnson, who's similar size, the kid from Houston, is one of the fastest players right. here. And that's no surprise because that's what the film shows from his days at Houston. But I think Uwariye is a guy that grew up in Tampa, is a Buccaneer fan, and would love to come home and play at Raymond James Stadium. The Buccaneers need another cornerback. And he's kind of a fringe first day, second day guy, right? And I think he's the second day. I think there's other corners ahead of him. Georgia's DeAndre Baker, obviously LSU's Greedy Williams. I think Washington's Byron Murphy is a better player. But Uwariye, if he can have a good practice today here on Thursday and then a good showing in the game on Saturday, yeah, it's a chance to maybe creep into the bottom part of the first round. All it takes is one team to like you.
Right. Right. And you know, he's a kid that, you know, I had an opportunity to sit down and talk to on Tuesday. You know, great kid, excited about the opportunity just to be here to showcase his skills. And, you know, the knock on him by some was, well, he only started his senior year. But when we talked to him, he said, you know what, I may have only technically on paper been listed as a starter, but coach kind of thought of all three of us cornerbacks as starters. And he had 38 games that he played in and had some good stats in those, you know, in that time that he
right.
played. He wasn't, you know, technically listed as the starter,
right.
But he got as much playing time as any quarterback.
Yeah. His first game at Penn State as a sophomore, he had a pick six against Kent State. That was the only interception he had that year. But his junior right. year, 9 pass breakups, 4 interceptions. And then last year he had 3 interceptions and 11 pass breakups. So he was technically a starter last year, but like you said, Mark, he saw plenty of playing time, certainly his junior year as well, mm-hmm. with those 4 interceptions.
And Scott, when we look at, and we'll get Matt and Taylor's opinion too, because they've done a great job with the practice reports, but we've seen the Buccaneers scouts primarily focusing on the offensive and defensive lines. John Spytek and Mike Beal, we watched them walk down from, they were probably 40 rows up in the stadium at the 50-yard line, and when the offensive and defensive linemen went one-on-one, you know, they were down there in the end zone keeping an eye on things. Now, you always want offensive linemen, you always want defensive linemen, but That's a pretty good indication that they're scouting those guys heavily, Taylor.
Absolutely. And one thing that's really interesting when you look at it here at the Senior Bowl compared to the East-West Shrine game that we covered last week is that at the East-West Shrine game, you kind of look at guys and the talent level all across the board is not quite what it is here at the Senior Bowl, but specifically in the offensive line. So last week when you're kind of at the East-West Shrine game and you're looking at defensive linemen and offensive linemen, it's kind of almost tough to really get a gauge on how good they are because you might question the talent on the offensive line. But here you're seeing such high-talent guys go against each other that you can really get a gauge for how good some of these guys are and whether that's a small school guy like Jalen Ferguson coming up and playing some Power 5 guys or that's just guys like a defensive tackle at Washington getting to go up against even higher level competition than he might see on a weekly basis.
And we saw a kid at the East-West Shrine game who had a really good week, probably the most dominant offensive lineman in St. Petersburg last week, has come up here to Mobile and has had a pretty good couple days from what we've seen.
Yeah, Scott. I think Elon's right tackle.
Oliudo.
Yeah, I think Oliudo's had a pretty good week so far from what we've saw with the footage provided to us by the Shrine game yesterday mm-hmm. from the indoor practice and also what he showed on Tuesday in the cold, dreary practice at Ladd People Stadium. And you kind of have to wonder, too, because a player like KU's Daniel Wise, the defensive tackle, dominated last week. But as to your point, Taylor, with regards to the level of competition, I wonder how dominant he would be here. I think he's just still a very good player. But it's kind of like night and day in terms of the offensive line talent here as opposed to what it was there. And you have to wonder, I would have liked to have seen Daniel Wise come up here and you know and showcase what he could do to see if he could make the transition like Udo's had so far.
And I spoke to him after practice on Monday, and that's one of the first – sorry, yeah, on Tuesday. Getting my days all mixed up here. And one of the first things I asked him was what's the difference between the East-West Shrine game and the talent here at the Senior Bowl? And he right away he said it's just so much faster and everyone's so much stronger. So he's had to adapt to that in just 1 week of play. But, yeah, he's holding his own for sure.
You know, speaking of holding their own, you got a boat – you need it to hold its own because you don't want to be out in the Gulf in this kind of weather and be floating on a life raft because you were too lazy to take your boat to get it fixed. Now, I don't have a boat anymore, but if I did have a boat, I would try and find a place somewhere locally in Tampa, preferably something that's family-owned that has been in business for, I don't know, 70 years. I just can't think of anything right now.
Matt, do you know somewhere off the top of your head?
Matter of fact, I do. It is called T.A. Mahoney's.
T.A. Mahoney's, that's right. I always forget them. Just kidding, T.A. Mahoney's. Wonderful group of family-owned guys, Mike and Matt and Mark, the whole crew over there. Even Mom works in the billing office. She takes care of things. It truly is a family-owned business. They take pride in being there on the sales floor in every aspect of the business. Give them a call if you have a boat. And listen, fishing is going to get really good here come March when water temperatures get back up to around 70 degrees. That's when things really turn on fresh and salt water. So this is the time right now, the end of January into February, where you want to get your boat equipped, get it well maintained, get it stocked up, get it ready for being out on the water. Whether you're a fisherman or just a casual boater, T.A. Mahoney's is the place to go. And even if you don't have a boat, you just want to learn a little bit about fishing, great knowledge from these guys. They've been doing it their whole life. And guys, this is a place where, you know, these are people who work there who actually do these things. I mean, these guys fish. You look at their Facebook posts and their social media posts, and they're out on the water and posting pictures of things. So they have the knowledge, and they're happy to share that as well. So check out T.A. Mahoney's. You can find them online, tamahoney.com.
So we're going to wrap up this podcast. I want to kind of send it around the room here and talk about what, you know, we all want to see from this final day. And we're going to be posting a kind of a practice recap video on pewterreport.com later as we head out of town this afternoon. But one of the things that I want to see is how this offensive line for the North kind of rebounds, because I didn't think that they were particularly sharp on the Tuesday practice outdoors. And there's a lot of name guys there. There's both Wisconsin guards. There's Ben Schwell. There's Dieter. I think Dalton Reisner had an up and down day, the Kansas State right tackle. And I'm anxious to see guys like Nate Davis from Charlotte, how they kind of respond to the pressure that some of those North defensive linemen were bringing, guys like Western Illinois' Colin Saunders, how Zach Allen from Boston College is going to fare against, you know, Dalton Risner today. I want to see, you know, just who can really stand up, because what we've seen so far is, in the years that I've been doing this, is players that don't look good on Tuesday can rebound and have a really strong finish. And I think that's what the coaching staff is looking for. Okay, you had a bad day or two. How do you finish the week of practice? Rashad Penny, one of my favorite running backs in the draft last year, did not have a good couple of days. He had some early fumbles during the week. Then he rebounded with a fantastic practice on Thursday. Then in the game, he was the offensive MVP, catching a 70-yard touchdown pass and ripping off some big runs. And that catapulted him from being a second-round pick to a first-round pick by the Seattle Seahawks. So it's important to see how guys finish the week, and I want to see the finishers today, especially along the offensive line. It's important to note that Jason Light has spent three draft picks on offensive linemen from the Senior Bowl. Alex Kappa last year, and back in 2015, Ali Marpet and Donovan Smith. So what you said makes a lot of sense, Mark. We're going to probably be seeing John Spytek and Mike Beal down there on the field in the end zone, watching those one-on-ones again, keeping an eye on the offensive line, and I want to see which offensive linemen get better.
And you know, while they're down there watching the offensive line, that's an opportunity for some of these defensive linemen to shine too. Look, the Buccaneers are probably going to draft another defensive lineman too. Who knows what's going to happen with Gerald McCoy? If Gerald McCoy's out of the picture, then absolutely that becomes a need for this football team. And there's a lot of great defensive linemen, and I want to see them continue to dominate the way that they did on Monday. Didn't watch as much of the film yesterday. It was kind of sporadic. We couldn't really focus on one area like we were able to on Tuesday. So I want to see the defensive line. But I also like to see the cornerbacks rebound too, because I think the receivers really got the best of the cornerbacks for the most part on Tuesday in those one-on-ones. Now, listen, let's face it. If you're a receiver and you're a cornerback and it's strictly just a one-on-one, you have no help from anybody, the receiver should, in most cases, win those battles because there's no pass rush. The quarterback can kind of sit back there and do what they want to do. And obviously, they know what the route is. But it's tough for all of these guys to come in here on a Tuesday. First of all, they get into town on Monday. They start with interviews. They're up late, early. They're up on Tuesday morning. They're paraded across the stage in their underwear. Then they go eat. Then all of a sudden, they're immediately thrown on the practice field with a bunch of guys they've never played football with before. So normally Tuesday, that first practice, is your shaky practice. And Scott made a great point. We've seen it year after year. Guys who, boy, were a little disappointed on that first day of practice sometimes end up becoming the MVPs of these Senior Bowls by the time Saturday rolls around.
And kind of piggybacking off what you said there at the end, I'm really looking at the skill positions today. I'm excited to see that. Because like you said, they're going through so much on that Tuesday. Then they're thrown on the practice field. They're kind of being getting used to this new coaching staff that they're having for this week. And, I mean, even yesterday in the sporadic little kind of practice that we saw online – in the reviews, they said the quarterbacks were much sharper. The wide receivers were much sharper. They were playing in a cold, muggy day with all those things against them, like you said. And I'm really looking forward to see how these cornerbacks have adjusted, what these wide receivers are going to do, and how those matchups are kind of looking and how the quarterbacks can find their receivers here in the final day of practice.
So I spent a lot of time on Tuesday looking at the offensive defensive lines, and I know we all just discussed that. So one player that I'm really looking at as far as the offensive side of the ball is Titus Howard from, Alabama State?
Yeah, Alabama State.
He's a big guy. I got to speak with him as well, but he's very quick and agile too. He was a quarterback in high school and moved to offensive line. So now he's playing against better competition, and he held his own on that first day of practice. But there was one time he's going up against Montez Sweat, and Sweat completely just knocked him over. And he was having a good day up until then, so I want to see how he bounces back from that. It was only one play, and, you know, it's a long practice. But now that he had one day under him to kind of size up the competition, see what he's going against, I want to see how he does on the next couple day of practices. And on the defensive side of the ball, I want to take a closer look at the linebackers. We talked a lot about the corners and the defensive line, but the Bucs could use a linebacker as well. You know, Quan Alexander is coming off a torn ACL. Kendall Beckwith didn't play at all last season, so who knows what the Bucs are going to get from him. So there was one player, David Long from West Virginia, who stood out to me, even though they're in shorts.
He's a thumper, despite his size. He's a small guy, but
you heard a pop right away going after the running back. He was hitting despite not being in full pads. So I really want to take a closer look at the linebackers and see who really, you know, shows out today in practice.
You know, there's a reason why we have Devin White as our
first-round
pick in the first mock draft we've done. Doesn't mean he's going to stay in the pole position throughout the entire spring. We'll have to see what happens with Quan Alexander. But right now, and there was some criticism, you know, about the pick, and that's fine. Everybody has their opinions. But the reasoning behind it, though, shouldn't surprise anybody. Like you said, Kendall Beckwith, and I've been told by team sources that Kendall Beckwith is not a given to play in 2019, that there are some serious things that he has to have resolved with that ankle. There's a reason why that, despite his own optimism, he was not placed on the active roster, and why he spent last year on injured reserve at the end of the season when they tried to bring him up and have him practice. He was not the same guy, and that's concerning because he was a hell of a player when he was healthy during his rookie season. So Quan Alexander's a question mark. Kendall Beckwith is a question mark. They spent a sixth-round pick on Jack Sitchie, who also tore his ACL in the same Cleveland Browns game that Alexander was lost to. That's three linebackers right there that ended the season on IR.
Damn you, Baker Mayfield. Damn you.
Yes. and that's what really puts this linebacking core in question. I think right now the Buccaneers realize that Adarius Lynn is a special teamer only.
Taylor.
That Devontae Bond is probably a special teamer only.
Riley Bulla is a starter or a special teamer only?
I think he's a special teamer only.
Oh, okay.
Based upon what we've gathered.
You know,
and so what that leaves Levante David as your only starting caliber linebacker that's healthy on this roster right now.
With a team that potentially
could play
a 3-4.
Yeah, and you need four linebackers. Now, keep in mind, Jason Pierre-Paul would probably transition to that weak side rush stand-up linebacker, just like Terrell Suggs did.
Maybe Noah Spence turns it around. I mean, he fits in that role, too.
Yeah.
As a guy that can rush
from
the edge
and
also play linebacker.
You could possibly look at a player like Carl Nassib, given his athleticism, and say instead of being a 3-4 defensive end, maybe he is your 3-4 stand-up strong side linebacker. He can cover a little bit. He's not the most fluid guy, but we saw him break up a pass down the field against the Browns.
And Vita Vea could play safety.
No, probably not.
Passed on a safety for Vita Vea. I get that mixed up. But anyway,
yeah, they did.
Before we wrap things up, one other quick thing I want to point out. Well, there's two things. First of all, you know, when we watch these things, Scott and I were noticing, particularly the small school offensive linemen, small school offensive tackles. Scott said it just a few minutes into some of the drills. He goes, he's a guard. That's when you find out if these guys, this is what Senior Bowl is great for.
Yeah.
Particularly for small school tackles that, you know, that did fine in the conferences they played in, and in the football division they played in, but they can really get exposed for their lack of lateral movement and ability. And then you think, okay, some of these guys are going to be kicked inside. So watch some of these small school tackles. And see if maybe they get – and sometimes it happens actually during Senior Bowl week where they do get shifted inside and they play. Sometimes they'll actually play both.
Yep.
Kappa was a guy that was a tackle in college.
He was a left tackle at Humboldt State and ended up in the Senior Bowl game itself playing left guard, and right tackle in the game. He played three different positions. And I think he might have even seen some snaps, a few snaps at left tackle too, just to help – the scouts get an evaluation of where this guy's best fit is in the NFL. And having some position versatility can be a really good thing. We saw Ali Marpet, who was a left tackle at Hobart College, play exclusively at guard, and that worked out. Sometimes versatility can be a blessing. Sometimes it can be a curse if you're a jack-of-all-trades, master of none.
Right.
But the one thing interesting is not just the small school guys. A guy like Dalton Reisner, who I watched at Kansas State, my alma mater, is a right tackle, was an All-American right tackle. I think his best position is inside a guard. I just didn't see from Kansas State, which is really a run-first team in the pass-happy Big 12, I didn't see the sheer athleticism, the ability to kick slide and kick step back and have that athletic ability you want on the edge against, you know, guys that are going to be fast speed rushers. I question his ability to move laterally and do that. I think, given his size, he's better inside at guard it might be NFL teams that say, nope, we like him as a right tackle, but that's not my evaluation. We saw Cody Whitehair at the Senior Bowl, who was a left tackle and a center at Kansas State, but his senior year was a left tackle. He's now starting center for the Chicago Bears. So not uncommon to see guys like an Allie Marpet, a Cody Whitehair, and maybe a Dalton Reisner get moved inside at the next level.
Tomorrow is Friday. We're going to be leaving today. Can't wait to get home, guys, and get back. I mean, I love the food here in Mobile. But, man, I miss a good Ford's burger and beer, don't you guys?
Yeah, absolutely.
That really hits exactly the way Ford's does. And Ford's has been a proud Peter Nation sponsor since the very beginning, since we started doing this. And we want to thank them. Multiple locations throughout the Tampa Bay area. None here in Mobile yet. But, hey, you never know.
Yep.
They're up in Michigan, and they're all the way down south in Estero near Fort Myers. So maybe there'll be a Mobile location one of these days. I think Mobile could use a Ford's garage. A lot of hunters here in Alabama and a lot of Ford drivers. I've noticed a lot of big Ford lifted trucks, so I think it would go over really well here in Alabama.
And you know what? Hey, there's not a better place to watch the Senior Bowl on Saturday than Ford's Garage.
That's right. Go to Ford's Garage, watch the Senior Bowl, tell them Pew Report sent you, and they'll give you a 1 cent discount off of your bill. They'll take one penny off your bill. Yeah.
Will they?
I don't know.
Okay.
I figure one penny.
They probably should.
Anyway. Yeah.
We probably should clear that with management first, though.
We'll probably check with Ford's bosses and make sure.
Yeah.
If not, Scott and I are going to be footing that one penny. But I figured if I said one penny instead of, 10%, if we did have to foot it, we could cover that. I mean, I got that much change in my console in my car. So anyway, but go check out Ford's Garage. Check them out online, fordsgarageusa.com. Scott, tomorrow is Friday. New Fab 5 coming out. I'm going to be probably driving. Matt's going to be doing some driving. Taylor's too young. You're going to be banging that out, but I've already read part of it. We've got some explosive content coming up.
Yeah.
Or you do.
Fasten your seatbelts. We've got some really good inside scoop on DeSean Jackson and his potential future in Tampa Bay. That's going to lead off the SR's Fab 5. I'll have my final thoughts on the Senior Bowl prospects that I've looked at and scouted this week. But really, that SR's Fab 5 lead-in with DeSean Jackson and some pretty interesting quotes from someone who knows DeSean quite well, I think is going to make some waves on Friday on the internet and on PeterReport.com. So be sure to check out this SR's Fab 5.
For Matt Matera, Taylor Jennings, Jenkins, Johnson III, and Scott Reynolds, I'm Mark Cook, and we'll see you next week with another edition of the Pewter Nation Podcast.
Out.
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 Out.